From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Smith, the AVP of Enterprise Contact Center and Access at Inova. For those who don't know, Inova is a health system headquartered in Fairfax, Virginia, with 1,900 beds in five hospitals with 4,400 affiliated physicians. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to join you.
So we have some interesting topics to cover. Today, we're going to talk about the artificial intelligence digital assistant that has been implemented at Inova for a few different use cases. I'm going to touch upon workforce management. Has just released a new CRM called Cheers that is now live at Inova. And we're going to talk about how that assists your team and your providers in being more proactive in the patient journey. Sound good, Steve?
Absolutely. Glad to be with you, Jordan. Looking forward to the conversation.
Thanks. So I understand that you're using this AI digital assistant to build out a new phone system. And I'd love to hear the story about kind of where you were, who decided that there was, what the problem was, and then how you came upon AI digital assistant as the solution. And then we can get into how that's been implemented.
Sure. So, you know, we've heard loud and clear from our patients that they're trying to access our system in a, you know, more highly efficient way. And, you know, what, you know, in the addition to doing, you know, various scheduling, open scheduling, ticket schedule, standard fare, we really had a need to provide patients more self-service and more autonomy when they call us and be able to provide them options to self-service, whether it's scheduling, cancellation, rescheduling, make medication refills in a more automated way. And so last December, we went live with a new phone system. NICE is the phone system, and it's powered by Hiro, which is the digital assistant. The other work case was that we did had a tremendous amount of just transfer calls, right, where patients get transferred from department to department, and that was really becoming troublesome. So the intent, again, is to allow the patients to interact with the digital assistant, let them speak their responses, and get them routed to the correct appropriate destination without kind of going from department to department. And so that's been the impetus for this.
So it sounds like there were two main KPIs for success. One was more efficient delivery of services and responsiveness to whatever the patient was trying to do, be it scheduling, rescheduling, medication refill. And the second was a diminishment of the burden on your team and trying to pick that up with the AI digital system. Is that right?
Exactly right. Exactly. Reduce calls into the contact center and be able to allow patients to navigate their own journey more efficiently with the digital assistant.
Got it.
And I would just add that we rolled out in December and we've seen immediate gains, whether that's successfully routed calls where the patient interacts with the digital assistant, states their intention, and we're able to route those calls efficiently upwards of 80% across the organization. So, you know, we're exceeding expectation in terms of efficiency and getting calls routed to the appropriate destination based on what's spoken. In the event that the digital assistant can't connect with the patient, it still defaults to our call center. So, you know, they're still going to get serviced. It just won't get that automation. There's just a backstop with the contact center.
Got it. So do you have any metrics on what the average number of transfers were before you implemented this versus now, or what the length of the average call was before versus now, or any other sort of specific indicators of these gains?
Well, I will tell you that when we compared January 24 to January 25, so January 24 with the old phone system to January 25, with the new phone system, we were able to reduce about 50,000 phone calls across the board. And also, to your point, we were average handle time went from about 7 or 8 minutes to about 5 or about 6 minutes, a little under 6 minutes. In the same time, we had more scheduling encounters year over year from So with the new phone system, less calls, but yet more scheduling encounters. So, really a win-win across the board. In terms of transfer rate, that's gone. We've reduced that by about 9% so far. We're still working through. We're not fully baked in with the go live, but from what we do have with the digital assistant, we currently also have cancellation, patients being able to cancel their appointment, confirm their appointment, and reschedule their appointment. We just don't have some additional add-ons, but those will be coming here in the very short term.
So some of our listeners to Healthy Data Podcast will be wondering, all right, you know, we also have trouble with patients having to be transferred too many times and our call centers are overwhelmed. And this sounds kind of familiar, it is resonating with me. But I've looked at solutions in the past and they're expensive, they're difficult to implement, the rollout is rocky, there's some hiccups. Can you talk about the time to implement or the how, if you did it, any problems with rollout or if everything was just smooth and they should just, our listeners should just jump in and go right ahead with trying to replicate your success?
Well, I would say go lives are never smooth, and that's just part of the nature of the beast. But what I will say is we spent a significant time with an RFP. We vetted many platforms. They had to adhere to our security requirements as well as integration within Epic, our EMR. And so those were kind of the qualifications. In terms of advice, certainly having dedicated resources from the vendor, I think, is paramount. Having clear timelines and ramifications if those timelines aren't being met, and having a really strong project manager is essential. As I said, it wasn't
was
perfect.
Was this less than a year, would you say? Was the implementation less than a year or 6 months or a year and a half? What was it?
I'd say upwards of a year.
Okay. And then once you, I know that since we're on the topic of AI, and then we'll switch to the other use case in a moment, but on this topic of Gen AI, there's been a lot of discussion around the country with ambient listening and integrating voice data directly into the EHR. I'm wondering if your AI digital assistant in any way enables extraction of anything communicated by a patient over the phone through voice, and if that can be converted into discrete data elements in any place, as sometimes happens with a chatbot, or is that still kind of a future milestone?
So next week, as a matter of fact, workforce management, which will have ambient listening, and we will be able to extract what's said and what's not said. So for example, we have a KPI and we really focus on demographic validation within the scheduling process. And so there's certain things that we would expect our agents to ask within the construct of the call, and we'll be able to pull calls and identify individuals that aren't saying the appropriate or omitting part of the demographic validation. So we're going to be able to really drill down on who's saying it and who's not, and then provide get the calls and have them listen to that. So a QA process development, but also it's important for us to start the scheduling process off on the right foot. And so that's important part of demographic validation. I'm really excited about that ambient listening and that analytic coming down the pike.
Now, I think there's something else that's interesting that you're doing with your AI digital assistant, which I think you referred to as Hero. You said that it's able to provide translation services to patients, and you said that providing better access to patients in the way they need care has been a priority. Tell me about that service.
So the digital assistant is named Hyro, H-Y-R-O, and we are in the process of working through with the platform Meta, being able to attach that within the construct of the phone call with NICE. So it's integrated through Hyro. So right now our translation service is a bit clunky, where patient needs translation services, our agent needs to put them on hold, call third party vendor, create the conference call. Sometimes those calls drop. Of course, with a human, you don't always, you don't have like a standard of performance, right? Where some translators might be really good, some translators might not be as good. So we are in the process of building out with Meta a AI component to the phone call, where if a patient needs Spanish or what, we have like 50 or 60 different languages that they'll speak, they'll make their declaration, they need assistance with translation, the bot will turn on, and then it will just be a really seamless phone call with the scheduler, where we can take the transferring out of the equation. I think that will also certainly reduce average handle time with the call as well. So I'm really excited to see that get rolled out probably towards the end of the year is what we would expect.
That was excellent. I'm wondering, you're trying to make Innova more responsive to patient needs, to make patient experiences better. I guess that would improve your HEDIS scores. Are there any other financial, clinical, or operational drivers to improve the patient experience with their encounter with the Innova Health System?
Well, we have a KPI of 12% online scheduling. And, little by little over the course of the last few years, we've been improving. In this past year, we've eclipsed the 12% online scheduling. I think that's in large part because of all the changes we've made, whether through ticket scheduling and MyChart. We're going to actually really blow that number out of the water here later this year when we roll in organic scheduling or ticket scheduling within the context of the phone system, where this phone system, the AI digital system, will recognize who's calling in based on the phone number. And if there's an open referral in the system, the AI will see that and prompt the patient to say, hey, I see you have a referral on file. Would you like to go ahead and schedule? So that I think is going to be really great. You know, our patients have told us that they want more access, and we've worked really, really hard to do that. And I think, the proof is in the pudding, because recently we were recognized as the Prescani Hospital of the Year, in large part is because of our surveys with patient access and how we're doing. So it's really exciting to see that all the hard work is actually paying off.
Got it. Excellent. I appreciate that. So you also said, we'll come back to workforce management, but on this topic of improving patient access, let's talk about Epic Cheers for a moment. So you're implementing this Epic's new CRM, customer relationship management platform, in order to be more proactive in the patient journey, document phone calls and interactions with the patient. And I think that's all kind of a means of achieving the end, which we've been discussing, which is improving patient access and patient satisfaction. Can you tell me about the impact of implementing Cheers and how that's been received by patients and providers?
I think it's been received really well. So it's really kind of cool because the agents actually answer the phone call within the Cheers dashboard. So they don't have to go from platform to platform. They're actually, it's the phone, the Cheers call hub. They're able, screen pops come up, so we actually can see when the patient's calling and who is calling in. So you already know who you're talking to. And so it really kind of expedites the validation process because that screen pops. And then every phone call is, if it's a, clinical or a financial matter, we would expect our team members to create a CRM or document the phone call. May answer a call from that same patient. They'll be able to kind of see the timeline. Additionally, we're able to provide patients what we call next best actions. And so if something's needs to be updated within the patient account, whether their phone number they need a cell phone, or their email needs to be updated, or their insurance is expired, that populates in the call hub. So our agents are prompted to ask the patient, hey, do you want to update your insurance? I see it's out of date. Or, hey, once a year we ask patients about their communication preferences and how they'd like to be communicated, whether it's phone, text, email, all of the above. And so the next best actions prompts our agents to be more proactive within the context of the phone call, and then ultimately making the experience for the patient more seamless, and possibly even reducing follow-up phone calls for them to call back and update the account or provide or get guidance on how to do so.
So I'm hearing that Cheers is useful for improving data integrity. You said it's expediting the validation process. I heard there's a lot of business reasons that Cheers is providing value to Inova, like prompting the patient to update their insurance information or their contact information. I'm wondering if there's any clinical benefits to Cheers. For example, if Epic fires a best practice advisory to a provider that this person's A1C was elevated and maybe they need to make an appointment to see if their feet are swollen and they need to come in for their diabetes management or if there's other chronic disease management, is Cheers being used to drive clinical outreach to say, hey, this is a potentially high-risk patient, you know, you're over 50 years old, let's get you a colorectal screening, maybe screen for cancer. So what are the clinical implications for Cheers, if any?
Well, if a patient hasn't scheduled their annual visit, that will populate with the next best actions to prompt mm-hmm. the agent to ask and get that scheduled. I would also say that we're able to communicate with providers and the office through clinical encounters. So we're able to actually create the encounter within Cheers, send that to the provider, to your point, to provide feedback, get guidance. If a patient needs to follow up with the provider, we're able to generate messages from the Cheers platform directly to the provider or the provider's assistant.
Got it. And so are call agents the only ones using the Cheers platform, or are case managers also using it?
Right now, we've just rolled it out to our call center agents. We have talked about rolling it out further within the organization, but that's to be determined.
Got it. Okay. And has it been helpful in acquiring and retaining patients and preventing patients from leaking to competitors in the region?
It has. We're actually about to roll out campaigns within Cheers where mm-hmm. We can send out, based on their communication preferences, follow-ups on orders that need to be fulfilled. If they have a follow-up appointment, they need to schedule. If patients in need or they have transportation services needs, we can pull data and actually create a campaign for folks that might be at risk, and we can provide services for that. So really excited to do that. And to your point, I don't have raw data in terms of how many patients we've acquired, but I would say is once we start utilizing the campaigns feature, we will mm-hmm. be able to see data in terms of how successful the campaign was. So that's going to be coming later this year. And I think that's going to really be a big, big impact.
I'd like to transition to the final topic that we're going to cover in this podcast episode. You did allude to it earlier, and of course, I'm talking about your recent go live with a workforce management platform, you're going live with it next week in mid-May. There are a few goals that you had associated with it. You're looking to forecast staffing. There's a few other goals you mentioned. Could you talk about the implications of, I guess, the motivations, let's start with, of why you implemented this new workforce management tool and what you're hoping to achieve?
Sure. So first, just day-to-day interim management of the team to see exactly where team members are doing according to our KPIs. That all that data will be populated within the manager dashboard, and mm-hmm. as well as the agents will see how they're performing. So if they're expected to have an 80% availability rate, they will see exactly where they are. Mm-hmm. We have a real focus on eliminating calls under 1 minute, because without workforce management, it's hard to be proactive in terms of folks that, you know, are not adhering to our processes. So we'll be able to populate both within the agent dashboard and within the manager dashboard calls under a minute. And agents know that that is a real focus on our organization. So
sorry, just to drill into that for a second.
Yeah.
If a patient calls and the call lasts less than a minute, does that mean it was a mistake or that they were dropped? Or does it mean that this could have been taken care of on my chart? What's the thought process there?
I'd say a couple things. One, it could be a mistake. Two, was it someone, quite frankly, trying to avoid work and game the system? When we don't have tools like workforce management to proactively manage the team in real time. You know, in any call center, there's always folks that are looking to, you know, not answer calls or, and so that, and we've identified that as an area that we need to focus on a little bit more deeply. So now with this new workforce management, we'll be able to see who has, for example, the most calls with, you know, in the, within the day of 1 minute or less. Then we can go in and start drilling down and listening to those calls. And was it a technology issue for the agent? Were they, or were they actually trying to avoid calls? And we'll be able to root that out very quickly.
Got it. So it's accountability in the call center. There could be call center agents who are intentionally dropping calls.
Right. Yeah, we again, every call center, there's always folks that are kind of trying to game the system. And workforce management is going to allow us to be more proactive and get on top of that in real time. And so there's no way, quite frankly, to hide. And what we want is people to answer phone calls and work with our patients to provide them great service. The other thing in terms of workforce management is to be more proactive in terms of how we prepare for the day and the week based on historical call data. And we're going to be able to implement our payer platform Kronos within WFM. So we'll be able to see from historic data based on also who's like taking PTO, what the week or the day ahead is going to look like. And then that will give the managers power to say, hey, it looks like next Wednesday, I'm going to be a little short staffed based on the fact that folks are on PTO. It's going to be a high number and volume. I'm going to need to maybe use some resources outside of my, you know, my group. So we have a real focus on cross training and be able to use that in real time. And that's where the scheduling component and forecasting will come into play.
So, Steve, we are approaching the end of the podcast episode, and there are a few more things I want to get in under our belt before we conclude. You mentioned ambient listening. Usually when most people are thinking about ambient listening, you're thinking about a cell phone app in the clinical encounter with a provider standing there, and instead of typing on the computer, the app is kind of documenting a lot of the progress note for the patients directly into Epic. But here you're talking about ambient listening as a Gen AI solution for a call center. Can you talk about that use case? Because it's a little bit unique.
Yeah. So this is going to be really, really cool. So we'll be able to track the context of the call, like based on segmentation. So for example, the system will recognize, for example, if the calls become combative and there's friction, and the manager will be able to see that in real time. And then they could potentially start listening to the call because they're seeing an alert that there's some friction on the call. They can actually jump into the call based on that. But we'll be able to be more proactive on de-escalating phone calls. And right now, and that's also going to hold our, again, our team members accountable, because, you know, we want to work with patients, and we, you know, every agent doesn't work as well with patients as the next one. So that getting that information in real time, when we can say that we can see based on what's being said that the conversation is kind of going off the rails a little bit, it will prompt the supervisor or manager to listen, possibly jump in. And then from a QA and development standpoint, we can pull all the calls that have those elevated metrics where that's occurring, again, provide coaching development opportunities.
And so it sounds like from a management perspective, there's a lot of value to be had here with keeping call center agents accountable. Is there any pushback from the call center agents themselves who say, this isn't going to help me, this is just going to help my boss kind of manage me? Are they seeing value here too?
Well, here's how we approach that is that we're in the business of answering phone calls and providing patients care and reducing pain and suffering. And if you are not on board on those values, and that's going to be a concern. So we know that we most rely on what we're telling our agents is we're going to find the folks that are bringing the team down or the few bad apples, so to speak, that there's no place to hide. And we're here to provide patients a service. And if you're not here for that, with all due respect, I'm not sure you're a good fit on our team. So, you know, so again, it's been well received. Most of our agents do a phenomenal job and are here for the right reason. It's rooting out the folks that are trying to game the system and bringing more work to the folks that are doing the right thing.
So, Steve, we are approaching the end of the episode right now. We've covered a lot of ground. We talked about the AI digital assistant decreasing transfers. We talked about routing to the right position, automatically taking care of med refills and scheduling. We discussed the AI digital assistant helping with translation, again, reducing hold time, drop calls, transfers. We talked about workforce management in order to, again, improve the patient experience when they do call in. And we also discussed the CHEERS CRM, which is, again, to be proactive with the patient. All of this is a very patient-centric approach. I think that's what's motivating all the topics we discussed. Can you leave our listeners with a parting thought about if they would like to make their organization more patient-centric and improve their patient satisfaction scores, what message would you have for them?
That the healthcare industry is obviously behind in terms of like the Amazons or the airline industry in terms of, you know, being proactive with frankly. But that's the norm now, that patients, customers want to handle things within their phone, don't necessarily need to want to speak to a live person. And it's incumbent on us as healthcare leaders to meet patients where they're at and give them the ability, provide them technology to them at a high level. Because if we don't, we have potential leakage and they go find another health system that does have that technology and provides them that service.
Thank you. I appreciate that. For our listeners, this has been Steve Smith, the AVP of Enterprise Contact Center and Access at Innova Healthcare Delivery System. Steve, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today.
Jordan, it's my pleasure. I hope you have a great day.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.